I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about cell phones. How are they changing your body? Are they making you hunched? Are they making you nearsighted? Are they giving you carpal tunnel? And are they giving you brain tumors? We're going to talk about the up-to-date research. And before that, we're going to be talking about why certain people taste things differently and why...
Something about walks again. Something about walks and how amazing they might be. Spoiler. Hi, how's it going?
Slay!
How are you?
Good. It's stinking hot. Listen to last week's episode about heat waves.
Some things haven't changed. Except we went to Beyonce. Did we talk about that at all last week or no?
No, we just thought we were like going to.
Okay. What's your review?
Oh my God. What is my review? Like out of 10?
Or just like your verbal review. Like how do you feel?
It was so good. But it sometimes seems so basic to be like, Beyonce, like hot so take, Beyonce good. Was amazing at performing. Like it was just like, but it was so good. And it was at, in Toronto, the Sky Dome, aka Rogers Center, which is huge. And we've seen other concerts at before. And the only person who's ever entertained the whole stadium has been Beyonce twice.
That we were like, that was a good
like,
call.
I think
yeah,
that's
it's hard
what
to
I'm
pull it off
it
in
it's
that
like,
big of a stadium.
It's
yeah.
such a huge space, and it was like sweaty and hot, and everyone was on their feet, and it was just like ecstasy.
I was just blown away, as I think most people are, that like we were exhausted at the end of the concert just from like mouthing and singing words and standing still, but she's able to like perform for 2.5 hours yeah. at peak performance, belting and dancing and like... I just don't understand. Like, I guess she's had decades of practice, but it's an amazing thing.
She's an absolute
She's like
athlete.
An Olympian of performing.
Yeah, you know? And then it's like she did two nights in Toronto. We were there the first night, and I was like, thank God I get to sleep tomorrow. But she gets up, has, what, yeah. eggs and a smoothie, and then is like, I'm going to do that again?
I mean, and then she just does it over and over
like
for,
that's
like, months.
Insane. But the, also, it was a testament to how good her new album was that, like, people were the most like litty for the new album.
Like so excited. So yeah, cool. It's rare for an artist that's yeah. been around for so long. Like usually people are waiting for their greatest hits. Kind
yeah,
of
it's like, oh, okay, she's coming to Toronto. Oh, okay, like of course she's going to play her new stuff, but hopefully she plays her old stuff. But,
yeah,
like,
that's
she's
true.
She's so prolific that it's like literally like, and she made
You're, like,
me
excited for the new
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
And then even songs I've listened to a bajillion times because the album's so good, like Cozy and stuff, like was better in concert. And now I'm listening to the album after the concert because she made me re-like the album. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. Like, I'm not a huge concert goer just because I am, like, you know, kind of claustrophobic. I don't love the environment. But the concerts that I've loved the most were when certain songs that I, like, kind of glazed over in the past, suddenly you see it in concert and it, like, changes your whole perspective on the song. That when you listen to it, suddenly you're like, this song is amazing. I understand why someone on first glance might not give it. But now that I've had, like, this new... It's kind of what a music video can do for a song too. Sometimes a good music video can make a song so much better.
Also, Break My Soul is still so good. It was the best part, and it's like I've listened to that actually 48,000 times. Like it was like that song is so good, and like I don't know. I feel like people it wasn't like ever number one or anything, but it's like such a good yeah. Beyonce song. It's crazy.
So like yeah, go see Beyonce locally if you
and
can.
She was kind of funny. Which was cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was a bit camp. Like
yeah,
she would put
she
on
would
like faces and perform, and her, like she
and
was
like
playing it up.
Be
yeah.
a bug. Like, she was like a literal bee. Like, those were my favorite parts. Because I like that. I like when she's not overly sincere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's just crazy and she's beautiful. And it's just like, okay. Yeah. Okay. Beyonce, hot take. Beyonce was amazing. Yeah. And you should see her.
Oh, that one other thing, not about Beyonce, but recommendation is that movie we watched the other day.
Oh, yeah.
After Sun.
After Sun.
Definitely. Great recommendation. It's a movie about a father daughter and like a relationship as your how you view it as a young person, as an old person. I don't know. It was a really, really cool.
It was more about like it sounds.
Sorry, it's not. It's like more deep than that. It's maybe about mental health. It's maybe about
memory.
Like, yeah,
but I think it's one of those movies that I've been wanting to watch for like a year and a half. But I'm like, every time you see a trailer, it's like, you know, like. Kind of like faded,
kind of like ethereal,
ethereal, and you're kind of like, oh god, am I gonna have to like we didn't watch it because we were tired one night, we didn't watch it because we were stoned one night, and we're like, because you know it's a foreign film, even though it's not, it's in English, it's like
it's Scottish, it's
like Scottish, but like it was so entertaining.
We didn't ever say that, did we? Like, yeah, it's a foreign film. It's gonna be
well, it has foreign film vibes. You know what I mean? Like, it's
or
like,
just like indie film vibes to me.
But when sometimes you watch the trailer, it's like Venice, like those little like frilly little like Venice TIFF like things come up, and you're kind of like, is it gonna be work? But it was like so entertaining and so enthralling,
like. Definitely engaging, despite being like very unconventional in terms of its structure, in terms of like it is like an indie film, so it's very different than like a classic sort of Hollywood movie blockbuster.
But it's
obviously
so much, it makes you realize so that like amazing. So many movies are so bad. Like, it was so good that I was like high after. I was like, the next day I was like, I was crying throughout it just because my body was like, well, what else are you gonna do? You have to like show this thing that it's so good. And then you just realize there's so many bad movies. When you see really good movies, it does. Not to just like go negative, but sometimes you're like, holy shit, like
changes your perspective. That's like everything though. Whenever you see like amazing art, you just go like, how did they do this? And like, how come not everything is like
this? And then it can kind of like ruin other movies for a bit. Yeah. Like kind of when we saw Rosalia and it was like, it ruined concerts for a bit. Cause it was like that concert was, I think as time passes, the best concert I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's been other times where I've been more obsessed. Like as a kid with Celine Dion, it probably like messed my brain up more, but the Rosalia concert I think is technically the best concert that's
it's the most fun I've ever had at a concert. Not to like, and I know we were just talking about Beyonce, they're very different on scale. Obviously the Rosalia one was like much more intimate and a smaller concert,
but it was more creative.
It
than
was
Beyonce,
so
for sure.
Creative, yeah.
So I'm just saying, and then it, like after when we went to concerts, like I went to Caroline Polachek after and I was like, oh no. it's bad. It's like when you see something so good,
yeah,
it can sometimes like ruin other things because you're like, shit, like, yeah. Anyways, okay.
Anyway, okay.
Not to drag Caroline Polachek, but I don't know. She needs to work on her onstage banter. That's all I'll say. Okay. Moving
on. Oh, what did we learn this week?
So I learned about the genetic abnormalities that people have around taste.
Okay.
So there's phenylthiocarbamide, which is the chemical responsible for the bitter taste when you eat brassica, which is like cabbage-based plants.
Okay.
Which is Brussels sprouts, which is like interesting because you're like, it does look like a tiny cabbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mustard family as well. So like 50% of people carry a variation in the gene that allows them to taste the bitterness more intensely. This is for the kids out there.
Who are like, this is nasty.
Who are like, this is gross. You got to say to your dad or your mom and be like, you know, I think I might have a variation in the TAS2R38 gene, which makes me taste the bitterness worse than you. And so I'm having trouble eating my Brussels sprouts, and I think they'd be like, good research, you maybe don't have to.
Yeah.
And then there's also the soapy coriander, like, you know, everyone talks about coriander.
Oh yeah, you know, which is also cilantro for
that's the
people.
British one,
coriander.
Yeah.
No, or like Indian.
Yeah, sorry, but they say it in Britain too. This is a British it was a British magazine I was reading, like a science magazine. Also, they are like, they say like rocket instead
of, that's arugula.
It's like, come on. Like, that one's wrong. I know that you're England, but it's like rocket.
True. Like, I'm so curious about the development of that name.
I got a rocket in my
pocket.
Do they,
like, kind of look like the, like, expulsion of jet fuel from a rocket?
But we're not calling carrots, like, turd. We're not calling, like, that was a bad example. But we're not calling vegetables what they look like in real life. You know what
I mean?
Maybe,
maybe.
Oh, it's rocket exhaust. It's like, no. It's, I mean, arugula sounds like you threw up in your mouth. So that's
yeah,
also
it's
kind
not like the names
word.
Are logical in other ways.
But arugula does fit that bitter taste. But okay, so the coriander cilantro soapy taste is a genetic mutation in the olfactory receptor gene, OR6A2, that does make you perceive coriander as soap. Mm. And it's less common in places where coriander is more popular, like Central America and India. They don't have the same gene. Like,
do you?
No, I don't think
like yeah,
soap.
I don't either. Yeah, I love cilantro.
But like people in India and Central America where it's eaten a lot more are less likely to have
it. That's what I would assume, yeah.
So when people are like, oh, I don't like cilantro, I'm always like, okay, picky eater. But now I have to be like, okay, like it would suck to have soap
in your mouth.
In your
yeah, totally.
Burger or whatever.
Slash like a super bitter taste for another food when everyone yeah. else is like, this is great.
I mean, I definitely don't think I have necessarily the gene mutation for brassica, but it's not like I eat Brussels sprouts and I'm ever like, this is not bitter. Like, it's bitter.
Yeah.
And so is arugula.
Yeah, it is, but it's not like that bitter to me. Like, there are things that are way more bitter that I assume I don't have that gene. Like, yeah. I can eat arugula raw and I'm not like, this is so gross.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But some batches are different, actually. I don't know if it's just
well,
different
raw,
versions, varieties.
Raw rocket, like, take a raw rocket. Raw rocket is gross.
Like, I'd actually like it. There's some, there's
you
a
like
weird,
raw rocket.
Yeah.
You like raw.
And sometimes
ew,
I,
what?
When
really?
I put, yeah. And when I put it sometimes in a smoothie, if we like don't have spinach, I'll like use the arugula and it kind of like makes it taste buttery to me. I don't know. There's, I don't know. I like the taste of raw.
You
rockets.
Definitely don't have olfactory.
Yeah. Whereas I do find Brussels sprouts more bitter, but arugula I find bitter, but not in a way that turns me off. So.
But yeah, that was just like.
Finally,
kind of, that was
something
for
that
kids.
Isn't bad for me.
Yeah.
Shall I go into mine?
Yeah.
Okay. Classic talk about walks again, because another study is in. Get your 20-minute walks in. So
get your 20-minute. That was talk radio.
So brisk 20-minute walks are linked again in a new study to decreased depression symptoms.
I just feel like I walked here and it's so hot and it made me less energetic. It's like a bad example.
Oh, fine. I mean, obviously, like you so could hot. Be tired and exhausted from a walk if it's very hot. But this was looking at like what is the minimal dose of physical activity that can impact mental health is kind of what the study was going for. Ultimately, they found out like it is dose dependent. So 20 minutes was that point where they're like, we can still see a noticeable difference between people who experience symptoms of depression before and after. Obviously, we're not talking about like curing depression, yeah. but people feeling much happier if they get, they said like 20 minutes per day, 5 days a week was
that's
like,
also so easy.
Well,
that's
you think, but so for nice. A lot of people, it's not, you know?
No, I just mean it's nicer to, than being like, yeah. go take a frickin' like spin class.
Yeah. I think the nice thing is this is like a lower recommendation than some sort of guidelines proposed. So they were like, that's nice. If what the typical guidelines are recommending feels overwhelming, now it's like, okay, just like going out moving your body a little bit in this long run will hopefully improve your mood and mental health. And obviously they were like, as you increase those minutes, the effect seems to be greater. So, but 20 minutes a day, like it's, yeah, it's just a nice way to start your day. You're moving your blood around. It feels good. I love walks.
You do love walks. I mean, do I love walks?
Do you not?
I love biking way more. Way yeah. more.
I like walking more than biking.
Oh my
I only bike
God.
When I want to be efficient. And
oh my God,
and you're
love,
the queen
no.
of efficiency over here.
Well, I love, no, yeah, it's like a 20-minute bike ride over, for sure, over a walk. For sure. Well, what is that for? I don't know.
Well, like, because it's faster. Like, I get it if I want to get my day going and I'm, like, in a rush, I'll bike somewhere. But if I have the leisure and the time and I'm not in a rush, I would way rather walk somewhere. Unless it's, like, if it's, like, so hot that I think walking will be kind of hellish or something like that, it's different, but I love the idea of just like taking my time and strolling.
Wow. I'm so not that. I need to get help. I need to, I don't know. I need to do that.
You need to get help. Walk 20 minutes a day. There you go. You're helped.
Okay. Done.
Okay. Are we ready to go into
oh God, yeah.
cell phone use and how it's going to affect your body?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hold up. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
So today we'll be talking about... Whoa. Today we'll be walking. Oh my God, I already got to get my 20-minute walk in. We're going to be talking about cell phone use in regards to how it's physically altering our body, not necessarily our brain. We'll talk about that a little bit, but this is going to be more about the things it's doing to our eyes, our backs. Is it having the impact considering that we are now on these things all the time? Like it feels like there has to be some sort of like repercussion outside.
Physically, because yeah. You are working on / might have released a video soon about...
your brain.
The impact on your brain.
Yeah. Right? And the impact on your brain is real, y'all. Phone addiction is real. Hot take. We've been saying this for years. Truly, ASAP Science has been making videos about this, what, for 10 years? Like, honestly, yeah. It's so scary because you're like, we've done research, like all the research one could probably do, and still are just like struggling so hard.
I think that's phones. Like not the definition, but like goes to show how powerful an addiction can be, or just even like a dependence on, like, despite knowing something's bad for you,
yeah,
and wanting to stop, not really having control
that,
over
like,
it.
That like is so. Some of the definitions of addiction around this are that, like, knowing that it's negatively impacting your life and not being able to stop, like ding ding ding, mm-hmm. And then relapse, like truly trying to minimize your phone use and not being able to,
yeah,
which is something that I relate to fully. Like, I am addicted, and maybe if I think about it impacting my body, I'll have another.
Gosh, it actually gives me the heebie-jeebies when I think about it.
Yeah,
like
I
where
know.
I'm just kind of like, oh, it is like compulsive, and I just like
it's compulsive.
Freaks me out.
It's so scary to not have control over, like, I'm not a control over ink, but like, yeah, maybe I am, but like, it's so scary.
You're not really. You're not a control freak.
No. Oh. I was like, oh. And
like, I guess it depends on the circumstance.
No, I don't like, I don't want to be a control freak. So I'm pretty good if I ever feel like I am being one at being like, okay, Greg, namaste, calm down. But I don't like not having control of my
and being
life.
Aware of it and realizing, yeah. Yeah.
And I beat myself up a lot. Like, I think I beat myself up about phone use and
just so
things.
People know, like, I don't know what order of like this pod will be out before your video, but in your video, I know you're going to talk about like strategies from a science perspective and how to get control on it. So people who are listening can either check out the video or keep an eye out for that,
yeah,
video, because we probably won't touch on that stuff in this,
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't. We're going to talk about your body, because one thing I left out of the video that was interesting was just like the actual effect that it has on the nerve of the hand that you're holding the phone with.
Sometimes I think about like this underside of my right hand.
It's literally that.
Yeah.
The median nerve.
Because my finger goes, where's my phone? It's not here. But it, like, my fingers go under to hold it, right? And then you're just, it's like pushing down. Well, I always think, and sometimes I'm like, I need to start using my left hand for my phone because,
yeah,
I'm just holding it for so long, my right hand.
The median nerve starts at your shoulder, goes down through, and it goes to all of your fingers. And it like doesn't necessarily connect to your pinky. Is that, oh, what you're worried about, your pinky?
Or I'm trying to think. I'm going to literally grab my phone just so I can feel it.
Because it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't. The issue isn't actually that part of your hand, the bottom part of your hand. The issue is around your wrist.
Yeah, okay. I start to feel it. Like, I rest my phone on my pinky like this, for anyone who's watching. And I just feel like sometimes
wow,
my
you
hand
hold
gets
your
cramped.
Phone gay. I'm kidding.
Like, yeah, obviously. How do you hold yours?
I hold it like I grip like it like a person. Football, like mask.
You
for
literally
mask.
Hold it like, but then how do you like
no,
type
I'm
with
absolutely
it?
Absolutely kidding. Oh. I do not hold it like that. No, what I do notice is that so many mask for mask gays / probably straight guys, when they take photos in the mirror, they do that. They
what?
Hold their phone in this like, and it, like they're clearly flexing their like freaking arm. It's so fun. That's when you can tell that
like
they're
daintily.
Like, yeah, that they've taken 100 photos and like chosen the one. Anyways. The median nerve goes from your shoulder, and the issue is that through your wrist, the actual nerve is growing because of how we're holding our phone so much that the physical nerve is getting bigger and getting trapped and creating carpal tunnel in people's wrists and hands, like en masse.
Oh,
and everyone's just like, okay, well, that's from your phone. And it's like, what do you do other than mitigate your phone use? And then also, they do think people are getting more hunched, and I have a hunch, and I call it my Drake hunch, and I'm like, is it because of my phone? I think I've always had it, but
yeah, but it could be exacerbated by like, and I also think, and I don't like to admit this, but you know, I yet again had like a back injury pop up, the same one that kind of always comes up for me every this year. I've had it many, many times, and I do think sometimes it's exasperated by me looking at my phone too much.
Oh my God.
Because for the longest time, I used to be like, it happens a lot when I'm on planes, because if I fall asleep, my head goes down to this angle and like pulls. And then often with that inactivity, I just am now noticing sometimes when I've like sat down on my phone for a long time, like not only is my neck sore, not only does it feel like hunchback vibes, I'm way more likely to have my back go in the next couple days.
That is crazy.
So I feel like it's pulling
crazy,
on
like,
something.
As adults before phones, we walked around and we didn't do that.
Stare down.
We didn't stare down.
I mean, I guess there was like Game Boys and stuff, but
no,
like,
but even
you know, previous like
before
30
that.
Years ago, it's like I guess people like read books and stuff though for a long time.
Yeah, us trying to like make like be like, yeah, they read books.
I mean, obviously they weren't like holding them for 11 hours. Like now people are using
yeah.
their phone.
Well,
like,
the carpal tunnel thing that is increasing now because of phone use would happen because of like people who were cooking too a lot.
Say that again, sorry.
The carpal tunnel median nerve increase in size when people cook. So it's like there are
other
ways,
activities.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nothing like our phone use though. That's like why
yeah.
they're and it's called the laborer's nerve. So like if you like construction workers would have had this, but now like everyone's getting it because they're all
yeah.
on their phones.
I used to wear a brace because I thought I had carpal tunnel, or like my doctor had, because I played a lot of piano and tennis, which I think are both like activities that can inflame your
tennis.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. People get well, I know tendonitis is not the same as carpal tunnel, but they're both kind of in the same spot. Right. I think it can aggravate
tennis
that
is
area.
Like,
and piano is like really intense, like on your wrist
yeah.
if you're not like nice and loose. Like I was trying to teach you how to have like loose wrists.
So my thing in order to not get that is I just never practiced piano. And when I was in piano, I'd just be like, I'm actually not going to play it.
You're like, I'm protecting my wrist.
I'm just
going
to fail. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't going to say anything.
Another thing is that there's a huge increase in nearsightedness. And they really think that it could be impacted by phones. So in the 1970s, a quarter of North America had myopia, and now nearly half of Americans have it. So it's like, okay.
So physically damaging us.
In our eyes, which it all makes sense. Like,
yeah,
what,
if you're just
staring at a screen. And it's just because of its addictive potential. Like, you're right about books, but like people just weren't. Wasn't like every time they like ordered a coffee, like in between getting the coffee, they picked up their book and read like two sentences. Like we're
yeah.
all just doing that. That was one of the questions about addiction was like, do you find that you're on your phone rather than talking to a barista? Like that's a sign that you're addicted. And I was like, whoa.
Oh,
it was very
specific. Nice. I love talking to a barista.
Yeah. But I was like, that is an interesting.
But sometimes they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. Sometimes they're on their phone. It's like, okay, Slay, you're addicted. But it is interesting. Like, those little moments are the moments of like phone addiction that are crazy.
That wouldn't have existed before.
No.
Yeah, because you wouldn't like pull a book out or something to distract you for the like 2 minutes you're waiting for your coffee. You'd just stand there. But it is kind of unreal how it is like wow, to stand and do nothing for 2 minutes, not only is it difficult,
it's crazy.
You immediately go, like, cause sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and wait. But I'm like, where did people look before cell phones? Because then I'm like, I'm just staring at people and it feels weird if I'm
That's
just...
That's why they weren't nearsighted. They were looking in the, like, little bit of distance. Oh, my God.
You know
I don't even know because I've never done that. I get my phone out so fast.
Sometimes, like, even, like, waiting at an airport, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to just, like, sit here for a bit and not stare at something 1 foot in front of my face. But then I'm like, now I'm, like, awkwardly staring at people.
Actually, I love doing that.
Yeah, you are. Like, and you have no discomfort staring at people.
Nope.
And when they're fully aware of it, too, like, you will just, like, look and eavesdrop and fully, like, mouth agape listening to their drama. And I'm like, Greg, they're watching you watch them.
Are they though? I feel like they're not.
Not
they're just
always,
in their
but
head,
I'm just like
watching.
Hyper aware.
I'm like
of,
drooling.
Like,
I'm like,
and
watching.
I'm like, there's a way to do it where you can be more discreet.
No, but I feel like I need to, like, eavesdropping's hard. You have to really focus. You have to look and you have to really listen. And so I feel like I'm like, I really need to know what these two people are saying. And I have to, my body has to be like that. I think if I don't, then I don't get to hear. I'm now realizing I so am obsessed with eavesdropping that I'm going to now use my phone less and actively just be like, okay, now I get to eavesdrop.
Yeah, you're good at that because I don't have that. I start to get overly insecure and then I'm like, I just like have to stare at the floor and the roof and then I'm like, do I look crazy? I'm just like staring.
I'm truly going to try and use this because and be like, and I encourage other people, eavesdrop Greg, instead of using your phone. It's so interesting.
But that doesn't mean be creepy.
No, but I don't care. We're also like addicted. Be creepy. Be creepy. Obviously, don't
don't be creepy.
Be too creepy. But you, like, listen to people.
Listen,
it's
different
so
than
staring, interesting, yeah. And it's such a great me trying to like literally justify something that is like maybe bad, but it's so fun.
But that's when I'm like, what did people do before? Was it just daydream? Or was it just like actually engage more with the environment by looking at people and listening to
people? I think
there
was a lot of like, oh, how do you do that?
Like
miss?
Just chatting.
Oh, chit-chat.
But I mean, like sitting chit-chat. On, now if you go on the subway, like everyone's on their phone. I mean, yeah. Some people are on books, but most people are on their phone. It's rare that somebody's just like staring into space without headphones in.
This is like part of like, it's not fair to directly be like the mental health crisis and all this stuff. Like there's also so much more awareness, definitely people in like the 80s and 90s, like on transit, like were also depressed, but like they were maybe more bored throughout the day. And that is a very important
like good
thing for your brain, which we don't have access to anymore. And because we are so is what the video is about, like having such high dopamine rewards constantly on our phone. That's why we're addicted to them and why we're on them on the subway, why they're playing a game or looking at photos or doing whatever. It is making it harder to feel the excitement of day-to-day life without your phone. So they probably were on the subway and they probably were more bored and they were obviously daydreaming and maybe they were talking to strangers more, but they were probably planning their evening or deciding what they're going to do when they get home. And maybe they were like, oh God, I'm so bored. And it's like,
I do
that's
imagine
good.
In that scenario, like a lot more people would have just been like reading or having some other form of entertainment, but a lot, you're right.
Oh my God. Like Us Weekly was
newspaper
flying off the shelves. Yeah. Like they're exactly newspapers, but all of those things are better for your brain.
Like not, they're not designed to truly like hijack.
Yeah. They're not hijacking your dopamine systems, which is the issue that we're in right now. They were giving you like bouts of dopamine, but the issue now is people have a hard time delaying gratification because they use their phone so much. You're kind of delaying gratification by reading like a long article in a newspaper or reading a book. All these
things. Yeah, you have to navigate an entire thing in order to get the reward, which is kind of finishing the article and understanding the thing.
Yeah.
Which is very different than just like getting a message, getting a tweet, getting a like, watching 300 TikToks in like 1 minute. You know,
and it
I mean?
Is like there's so many studies about how important it is to like truly talk to strangers, and those little interactions are important that are not happening because of our phones. And so they're physically changing our bodies, obviously, but they're also physically changing how we interact in public spaces.
Well, I want to talk about now brain tumors as they correlate to cell phone use.
My God.
Because obviously this is not like physical in the sense that we were talking about, but I kind of thought, okay, that is something that has been a longstanding fear. Yeah. That's like the use of cell phones by your head or sleeping beside your cell phone, or especially like talking on your cell phone because it's like right beside your brain.
Yeah.
Does it increase the
incidence? Good thing I don't ever do that. I actually just text.
Yeah, it is actually surprising how we've like gone like past the point where I'm almost never actually using my phone.
That's also bad. Like there was a study about how people who use their phone more are less likely to call people on their phone.
People who use their phone more
are less likely to have phone conversations.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, I guess I like video chat with my family, but that's kind of it. Like I don't.
Me too.
And then the only people I call, it's like sad. It'll be like, not to like drag our accountant, but that's like the person I have to call the most.
Yeah, or it's like a credit card stranger.
Yeah, it's not like someone I'm having a nice conversation with. In fact, the other day our friend called me and it was like, I almost got spooked because I was like, oh, I haven't like answered a friend's phone call in so long.
I know, and that's why, and it's also evil because they're like, you're always on your phone. I'm like, oh, I randomly didn't pick up. It's like, because I'm staring at it like being horrified. Like,
they'll text.
Like, yeah, it's so bad.
Okay, so brain tumors. So, this conversation has kind of come back into the limelight. There's been a mix of studies in the past that weren't sure that some would find correlation. Again, correlation is not causation. But it was like always a muddled mess, quote unquote. But now that this like 5G has become back in the conversation, it's brought this topic back up, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember when everyone thought like 5G like made COVID or something. Yeah. Like, I don't even remember.
Like, didn't we even make a video where we were like, the 5G didn't cause COVID?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, like that was an do we really insane have part to make of the this? Oh my God. Yeah.
So the fear is that the radio frequencies being released so close to your head is bad for you. And the International Agency for Research on Cancer has in the past classified radio frequency waves as possibly carcinogenic.
Yeah, which I mean, according to the electromagnetic spectrum.
Yeah, obviously, as you get into like microwaves and UV light and stuff, there are things that are carcinogenic.
And 5G is a different wavelength.
Yeah. So the problem with all the old studies is that they were retrospective, whereas this new study is prospective, which means that they brought people in the study before they had a disease or a problem. Hmm. Whereas retrospective is like looking at somebody who maybe has a brain tumor and then asking them over the last 20 years, what was your cell phone use like? Hmm. So obviously there's like a lot more, you're a lot more prone to like misremembering and quoting stats in a different way, or like it's a harder, it's not quite as like, what would you say? Like accurate as a prospective study where you can actually track people's usage and then correlate it later. So this had over 700,000 women who were being studied since 2001. Then half of them were surveyed again in 2011 and then followed over like a 14-year period specifically for this study. During this period, 0.42 developed brain tumors just in general, but the ultimate discovery was that there was no significant difference between the risk of developing a brain tumor based on your mobile phone use.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So like even though people do develop brain tumors, it was like those who used their phone and those who didn't had no real difference. Even they like tested like, okay, are brain tumors more likely to appear on the right side of the brain or the left side? And does it correlate with like the side of the brain that people are putting their phones near? It was the same thing. It didn't like track with that.
Oh my, thank God. Imagine.
The caveat though was that it was, this all kind of averaged around like an average user. And they were saying like, this didn't come into consideration with people who were like extremely high users. On average, these people were talking on their phone for like 20 minutes a week, 20 to 30 minutes a week, which is like maybe normal. Like, cause I honestly don't talk on my phone that much.
Is it like, is it, they're not including people who use their phone more and just having it around them more? It was just talking about talking on the phone.
This was, I guess in general their use, but that one part about actually talking, it was about general phone use, but obviously the concern is like the phone's beside my head.
It does make sense. It's not causing cancer.
Yeah, but I guess it's just saying maybe, who knows, if somebody used it 500 hours a week beside their head, they don't have enough evidence to like make any claims around like extreme usage.
Imagine it did. Like, we would have known about that
study. Maybe not, though, because think about, like, smoking, how long it took to be like, oh it causes cancer, you know? Like, there's lots of things that are, and obviously there's a vested interest from, like, cell phone companies and all these places that, like smoking companies probably stifled research for a long time. I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just saying if it were a real thing.
Well, the more that they see it links to all these, like, crazy mental health issues, it's like, maybe in our lifetime it'll get regulated somehow.
I wonder, yeah, especially, I don't know. Can,
like, cigarette smoke has been regulated quite intensely in the last, like, 40 years.
Yes, but not from your personal use perspective.
Yeah.
It's always been, it's not that it's easier to legislate, but it's easier to protect other people. Like, because everyone's allowed to make their own decisions about their own body.
Oh, my God. It's like those, like, gratitude cafes where it's like, no cell phone.
Wait, is that
restaurant.
A
restaurant.
Wait, what?
Well, there's like, aren't there like those restaurants that have like a little pad, like a basket, beside where they like encourage you putting your phone?
I do love that. I've never been to one of those. But like, I like the idea of just being like, let's, if everyone commits, no one feels weird.
It is so funny because like with smoking, there was probably a time where people were like, well, then I'm not going to that restaurant. And restaurants were afraid of losing business. And right now everyone's a smoker and it would just be, the business would just get shuttered. It's like,
but it might be novel enough. That's like, every business needs a way to attract attention. Mm. And sometimes going for a niche audience that's like, oh, that is a cute idea.
Yeah. The no phone restaurant.
Yeah. It's whether or not you decide as a restaurant to be like, that's actually a rule. Or if it's like, we have this spot here, we encourage you to use it, but obviously we're not like gonna kick you out if you.
Yeah, and it is kind of funny if you're the person on your phone at that restaurant where everyone's like, put it here. It's kind of like, well, that's embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean, that must
have you
exist.
Ever done that, like been to a restaurant like that?
I mean, in my head it's like everything starts in like London, New York, LA, Tokyo. Like, I'm sure there's like
here yet.
Some there, but I'm like, maybe they're making its way here. Like, that's just the way things are. Like, Copenhagen definitely has one.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto's a little bit like phase two of trends.
Yeah.
We're like, we just got charcoal ice cream and everyone's shitting black. I'm kidding. Like, we got that like 2 years ago or whatever.
But you're right. It's like you hear about a trend and then like suddenly it's in Toronto.
Like, I'm not saying that. It would be really surprising to me if this didn't exist. But if it didn't, then ASAP Science, we're quitting and we're opening restaurants.
I love how often you're like, we're going to open a bar or we're going to open a restaurant.
Oh,
it's like,
I really want to open a gay bar.
And you don't realize that that is hell. Like,
yeah, no.
Many people are like, hey, we are not in that industry at all. So to just be like, we're just going to open a restaurant. Like,
I really want to open a gay bar for every reason that's not real. I want to be able to control music. There's a lacking queer West End Toronto presence of which people are dying for. Like, when you go west of Bathurst, like, everyone's queer. And it's like, there's no bars. Like, and the gay village in Toronto, this is such a side note. This is such a side note. For those listening of like phone news and they're like, you're not talking about the gay village in Toronto. The gay village in Toronto is so busy. There are so many gay people here. It's crazy. There's not enough spaces and they're all closing. All the like ideas are great. The only thing I don't want to have to do is like
the
open the rest. Yeah, like do the like
finance it and like keep
I don't
it
even
running.
Mind the financing. I don't want
well,
to have
like,
to
like market it,
and I don't want to have to like be like, did you fill up the glass? Or wait, that's not even. No. Or did you wash the glasses, Frank? Like, oh, it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
the actual
of
running
that.
Of the restaurant.
Yeah,
you just want to be a DJ. That's like literally all you want.
I never will say it out loud because, I mean, can you think of anything worse? But yes, I want to be a DJ. I even want a restaurant just so I can control the music.
That's what I mean. You just want to be a DJ.
Yeah,
you should just apply for like to a bar and be like, I would love to host a queer night and I'll be the DJ.
Okay, so this
that's
is another
probably
one
a safer
idea.
Way to like dally.
Okay,
or what do you
I
say,
don't
like,
even necessarily want to be the DJ. I just have, as we said earlier, control issues, and I want to control the music. And so
that's
this
called
is
being
no,
a
no
DJ.
This is another idea that I have. It's called the iPod Shuffle Night, and there's like instead of a DJ, a little glass orb, and inside is an iPod Shuffle with preloaded songs that no one can touch, and it's like. You just let it go, and then everyone's just like waiting around this like.
But like, it's your iPod Touch.
Yeah. So, but I have chosen. But like, that doesn't have to be known. It's just like the iPod does it, and then I could even show up and be like, "This music's so good."
Everyone's like, "Who's the owner?
Who's
of that
the owner?"
iPod
Touch? Yeah.
There's gonna be a brawl that breaks out, and someone's gonna smash and try and be like, "I gotta put something else on this."
Well,
iPod.
I mean, BlogTio would go off, and then there's our publicity. Anyways, okay, so back,
cell phones.
Maybe we would have a no cell phone policy, and then every. We would have a hard time promoting it. I do think, though, that something is going to have to happen.
Around cell phone usage?
Yes, I think so.
I don't know. Have you ever seen WALL-E?
They
predicted the future.
What?
Where everyone's just like, they're all like in those chairs just watching things in front of their faces, oblivious to the world around them, right?
That's already where we're
That's what I mean. It's like... what, because like, can you really force somebody not to use something? That's what I was saying with smoking. Like, you can't stop somebody from smoking. You can stop them from smoking around other people because it's still carcinogenic to people around, to kids in a car, it's like, to kids okay, in a house.
We're like, it can make you hunched. It can give you carpal tunnel. It's not going to give you a brain tumor.
Yeah.
It can make you nearsighted. But all of those things are not direct correlations to lung cancer that kills your kid from secondhand smoke. Like, yeah. That's like the more nefarious
that it's like,
part.
Okay, well, you get to choose your own choice. Like, you're allowed to use something that's damaging. Like, people will drink alcohol. It's not good for them. You can't, yeah. Like, of course.
And
like,
even that is killing so many more people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, the texting and driving, but that is what they've regulated it.
Totally. Yeah. That's driving. When you're like, you okay, could hurt somebody else, right? Like, you
because
are
because you're just
a danger.
On your phone. You're not hurting anyone but yourself, and therefore it might be harder to regulate.
So I think, I don't know, it just becomes about like
if
education.
If only it was giving carpal right? tunnel to those around you somehow, or like giving, like if you were making others nearsighted, like yeah. Not that that's like a bad thing, but like you just get glasses, but like,
yeah.
Is there like, there's no way that it's actually.
I think maybe like it may just be cultural. There might be a reckoning where people realize like this is actually unenjoyable.
But it's so hard if yeah. We already are realizing that and we can't quit.
I think what could be like the point of like regulating is how not only cell phone companies but like app designers truly do make them to be addictive.
Yes.
And I think that is somebody else having a negative impact on you that you may not be aware of, and that is important, that not only for kids but for adults. That
did
like,
you know that Instagram and TikTok, I've really noticed this on TikTok, are designed that every time you check it, the notifications come up for a like. So they'll hold your likes and spread them out so that every time you check, there's a like. Mm. And I notice that on TikTok. Every time I go, if I open it and then I close it and I open it 10 seconds later, all my notifications are the same. Yeah. They're still showing up red going, you've been commented this much. And then it's like, no, you just told me that. I thought it's supposed to go away once you've checked. It doesn't. And like,
they want to show you something.
Yeah. And Instagram, they hold it. So say you like posted a photo like yesterday and all the likes are slowing down. Then when you check, it'll say this person liked it. And then say like your other friend also liked it at that time frame, they would hold that person's like, so that the next time you go on, it's like your other friend liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, that is like, they know
that's
what
the kind
doing.
Of stuff that I think could actually be like controlled, or at least like those companies should be told like they can't do things that are like negatively impacting people's addiction to their products, right?
Yeah.
In the same way that like you're allowed to go gamble, but there is a lot of education around it, and there probably are laws around like what you can do, but it always this balance of like those like. Gambling weirdly makes money for the government as well, and then also is like a powerful institution with a lot of money that's up against like trying to like stop laws from being implemented. It's like all these social media apps are huge, and they're owned by huge companies that influence politics really. So I don't know where it will end. Part of me wonders if like eventually like the social media era just becomes boring. I'm not saying it will go away. It'll probably evolve into something that we're not predicting.
Well, TikTok
right now.
Was such a like slap in the face, because it's like I didn't think it could get worse, and then it did. Our addiction.
Yeah, that's why I wonder, like, not that I think that the what are the goggles called, like the Google or the iPhone,
the
like
VR
stuff
thing?
Yeah, I could see like in a way that kind of makes sense as the next iteration, where it is, if it can become seamless, like obviously Google Glass tried it, it failed. It's like, it's too early. But if there's a world where you just wear normal glasses and suddenly you have all these extra inputs where you're like, oh, I can be more productive. I can just like see my email pop up here. I don't need a cell phone anymore. But then you're like living in a different world.
Okay. I'm like such a tech skeptic, but like, good Lord, good luck.
With what?
That.
Well, what do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just like, I feel like we've been talking about VR. I don't know. I don't
Dude,
know.
That's AR that I
I'm
was
not
describing.
I'm not Marques Brownlee. But it's like, when they showed that VR headset thing, I was my God, we've been talking about this for years.
I agree. I think like VR is, I'm
but
not saying it will never happen.
Maybe like, eat our words. Like,
yeah, I think for sure AR will play more of a role.
AR.
Augmented reality. So remember when we were like,
we've
test driving
truly
that
done videos on this. Oh my God.
Vehicle, that electric vehicle. Yeah. And like, not that this is full augmented reality, but it was like projecting for the driver stuff onto the glass windshield so I could see more information.
I still think that's so not interesting.
It wasn't that. That's not that interesting or necessary, but like, I could see a world where like people already have watches that show them notifications. So why not their glasses? Right?
Like
you
mine
wear
that
glasses.
I'm wearing right now.
Yeah. It could just be like, Oh, every time you get a text, it's going to pop
up. It's just
here.
Like so sci-fi movie from the 90s that it feels funny. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's so like any old movie is like the future and it's mm-hmm. like them looking
yeah,
through.
You're
like
right.
There's something about it that I'm like, but why? Like the idea of our phone and like even like it's so interesting. It was like Facebook posting all of our goddamn photos, our mm-hmm. like our updates, like our little like Facebook like updates, like that became Twitter. Like it all happened in this really interesting way that like
but
wasn't
I
obvious.
I remember when our first friend got a BlackBerry when we were in university. I remember being like, that is so stupid. Why would you ever want to check your email on your phone? Like I remember being like, just like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So sometimes I have to check myself when yeah. I'm like, that's dumb. That's
yeah,
never.
Sorry, but I mean that's what I even am kind of trying to say. It felt like all the things that ended up taking over our brains were things that we were like, that's weird. Whereas we at the time would have been like, maybe glasses that like look at
yeah.
them, you know what I mean? Like there's something
yeah, we
about
can't
that
predict
that's
it.
Like,
we don't know.
Yeah.
And it, yeah.
It feels like, oh yeah, checking email on your phone, what a boring dumb thing. And then you're like, oh wait a second, that is the most revolutionary thing, like in a weird way, like that's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
Was checking email on our phone.
Mm-hmm. That opened the floodgates.
Yeah. But I do feel like TikTok has done something scary because it's mm-hmm. so simple. It's like, oh, we don't give you a choice about yeah. what you follow. Oh, we're going to make everything so short. It's like, they're doing these things that we all would have been like, yeah, of course that's going to be like worse for us and make us more addicted and really scary. And the algorithm is just going to be so good. But then we're all just like, LOL, it's so fun. Like, it's so weird. Like, it's just like, oh my God. Like yeah. if once someone figures out what will work to be the next thing to make us more addicted to a phone or technology, it's just, it's going to work
yeah.
because we don't have.
Everyone gravitates to it because yeah. it's like enjoyable.
And our brains aren't evolved to deal with this. Like they're yeah. not. They're evolved to be bored and they're evolved to have random stimuli of sex and food make you feel really good. Yeah. So like
I think I know it's gonna be in your video, but I think we maybe should do an episode on the pod about, have we already done this? Just like advice on even for ourselves on how to control phone use.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like what is the research there? What practices can we put in place for it? Because I just think like I wanna learn how to do that. And
but no, it's the worst part about it is I've done all this research on it and then I try and then I fail. And I'm like, well, that's relapse. I'm addicted. Like
yeah,
it doesn't feel good when you fail.
True.
But like, it's
I've
still
been thinking
worth
about that more because I feel like there's other things that I try and then stop. You know, like you try to learn a new skill. You try to build new structure and habits and then you fail and then you start again. And it's like, I think that
that's
is
life.
Also just part of
yeah,
life.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yes, these are designed to keep you addicted and they're physically affecting your body. Back to that title of this episode. But like it's normal to take a long time to either break a habit or build a new one.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if you're trying to minimize your phone use, yes, there's like some extreme things that might help, like switching to a flip phone, but most people aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
So what are the things that you can always come back to be like, okay, here are actual techniques that have helped. Like with smoking, where they were like, it's not about like how graphic images don't really help. Showing people what the problem is doesn't help. Removing it from the environment and making it hard to go get, like having to go all the way outside and smoke or having yeah. to go somewhere to pick up cigarettes is actually like what
yeah.
reduce smoking more.
Yeah. Cause even like the night, like I've been trying the don't turn my phone on till 9 a.m. and turn it off at 9 p.m. That's so in your own control. Like,
yeah,
it would be so great. If
it
they,
relies
like,
on
imagine
motivation.
Imagine the government started hiring people who come and take your phone. Like, it's like, that would be amazing. Like, it's so crazy how much yeah. of this all comes down to you.
Your own. Yeah. Your yeah. own self-control.
Yeah. Self-control. And I do think there's so much stuff out there on the internet because I've been doing all this research. That is so frustrating. Everyone's so high on their horse on YouTube. Like, I got a flip phone. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
They're all like, I got a flip phone for a month and it changed my life. And then it's like, you definitely went on your phone in that month. Like, I feel like, I feel like
it's
all
a fad
the productivity
just,
YouTubers yeah. are like, honestly, when I watch the video, I'm like, you're lying.
Yeah, because the people who are okay with flip phones probably always had one to begin with.
And I'm also like, you are so chronically online. You're a YouTuber.
Yeah.
You're lying.
Oh,
like,
100%.
You've
yeah.
built a brand.
And
around
to do something for a month is like, cool. Now
yeah.
what? Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily help if you're watching that and then you're unable to. Because like it's like we are addicted and mm-hmm. it is out of control. And if you do have a healthy relationship with your phone, it's like, that's a beautiful thing. Like, mm-hmm. you should be so proud of
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, ultimately, I think that should be the goal is how do you, like, like some, this doesn't matter to some people. Like some people don't have addiction to their phone, but for people who feel they have an unhealthy relationship, I think it is like, how do you get to that equilibrium where it like, you obviously can still use it for the reasons you like it, but like, how do you have a positive relationship with it?
Yeah, we can
get the most out of it.
I can just maybe in a bit, just do the video based on all the, cause I did all the, it's in the video. It'll be in the video, but, and it is interesting. And it is like, the most up-to-date research is not definitive, and it's all about your own willpower. The only time they sometimes have advice is like if your friends and family, like in a home or roommates, there's a big part of it involving other people. And
meaning what?
Well, there's a thing, like there's a concept of physical binding of your phone, which is like actually giving your passwords to a friend, which a lot of people have started to do. They say, I don't want to use Twitter for a month, and they give their friend the password. And then that embarrassing sort of moment of, can I have the password back? They're too afraid to do, and it works. But or like deviceless meals if you're a family, like just
having
making that
times
a rule
when it's just like phones aren't allowed right now.
Yeah, and as like parents and kids, and as like or roommates, like it's annoying to have to try and like police other people. But there were studies and situations where roommates did say like the 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. thing. Like at 9 p.m. they all just turn off their phones, and then they like make it kind of like a thing.
Yeah, it would honestly be harder alone because it's like, who are you doing it for?
Exactly.
If you have even roommates, to even if like building habits with a family, obviously it's challenging with kids because like they're not like probably at the same place mentally about wanting to stop. Yeah. But like it's easier as a group to like then hold each other accountable to like, this was our this is our arrangement.
Yeah.
And it's just an hour or two without it. Like, but yeah, I think it'd be fun to like look more into that.
And it's so hard. Like I literally can't. And I've just been doing research on it and been trying, and I just keep failing.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's sick.
It's sick. It's absolutely sick.
I feel like, but I say that every episode.
But do like and subscribe or like whatever you do.
Check out our TikTok. Check out our,
it doesn't help that our job is this too, I think.
Yeah.
Like imagine.
But I see lots of people that I know that, like, I wouldn't know enough to call them addicted, but you see people use their phones in times when you're like, okay, that's intense, you know? Like, what, to be around friends at dinner like, where you see someone just using their phone in front of you and, like checking in and out of conversations, and you're like, it is intense.
Yeah, that
like,
is
I think,
such a specific
I think it's
feeling.
Hard for us to know if this is because of our job that we feel this way, but I definitely feel like lots of our friends also feel this way.
For sure.
So.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, yeah. Let us know if you'd want an episode that is like rehabilitation. I'm like, maybe there's like someone interesting to reach out to who might like work in this space or
like a Buddhist monk
or you know what I mean? Like a psychologist who maybe works with people
Or that,
or studies this. Cause I'm sure it's like a growing area of concern.
It is. It is. All
as
the
well
research
as desire
is
for a lot of like, it's interesting that we want to stop and it's still challenging.
There's a lot of research happening right now. I know. Yeah. Obviously makes sense. Okay.
Thanks for listening. And yeah,
post.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.